Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome, welcome. Yes, you are on Hanif R. Jordan's network. I am your host, Hanif R. Jordan. And that lovely music and my intro is by Axe Music. Yes, Productions. I really like that. I hope you do too. And today I have two wonderful guests I'm really excited about, which I love what I do, so I guess I'm always excited, right? So we have Timothy Teach Jones, you guys. I'm going to be playing a small snippet of his film that he produced. And I think you guys will really love what you're about to hear. This man here has produced and wrote this small film on a small budget. And I really want Timothy to really dig in and tell you the struggles that he went through in high school and as a child, you know, in an all-white private school and things he had to deal with. And I'm telling you, when you hear this snippet, it is going to make you want to see this film. And this film is called Discovering Destiny. Huh, that's very deep, right? I think so. Timothy Jones was born on the streets of South Central L.A. and, you know, indulging in the life of gangs and drugs, alcoholism, women, crime, before he discovered his own destiny. And so I just can't wait to talk to him and go a little deeper into this. But before we do, you guys, we're going to listen to just a small snippet of Discovering Your Destiny, and then, you know, we'll get right into the show. Wow, she said by the law of the streets, Timothy shouldn't even be here anymore. With no further ado, let's welcome Mr. Timothy Teach Jones. Hello, Timothy. Welcome to my show. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate that.
Oh, no problem. No problem. I love your story. I wanted to make sure that we can get it out through my platform and talk a little bit more about your journey and, you know, what made you decide to write your story and really talk about it and put it on film?
Well, I've been acting for the last 17, 18 years doing theater, television, and film. And I think what inspired me to tell my own story, a friend of mine, Belma Johnson, who's in that trailer, who's in the film, he's an executive producer, and he encouraged me one day, you know, that I had been really looking for people to believe in me, and his advice to me was I needed to believe in myself. So I was going to make another film that I wrote, and it got to be a little bit too expensive. So one day I was driving, and it just hit me that a film is just a story. So why don't I tell my story first? So I figured my story was compelling enough to inspire someone else.
I love it. I love it. Let's talk about your younger years, being the only, you know, African-American kid in an all-white school, and that experience and how it affects you to where you sort of took the wrong turn for a while. And then we'll embark on another question. So let's talk about a little bit about that.
Yeah, it was very difficult. You know, for a child, it's hard to process your value. And, you know, we would like to believe, you know, I think it was Cedric the Entertainer. Some comedian said, you know, we lie to these kids and tell them you can be the president of the United States when you grow up, when that's not the truth for everyone. And so for me, I didn't know who I was. So I'd like to believe that I did, but when you're insulted all the time and ridiculed, and you are the, now we call it bullied, when you're bullied like
right.
that, it produced low self-esteem in me. You know, for me, it was like I had no self-worth, and so that made me angry, and me being angry caused me to make a lot of bad decisions as a result of that.
Yeah, you know, and I'm happy that you're talking about that because, you know, yeah, back in my day, I guess we didn't have a word for it, and you're right, now it is called bullying, but the effects of it, of what it does, I guess, to any man, but to a young black man in that environment, and feeling so isolated, I think it kind of can change your perspective on life and on people. And so
exactly.
It makes us go into a different, you know, choose a different way so we can find some type of power, some type of identity. Let's talk about a little bit about that. You know, you're living, you know, in the streets of South Central L.A. and just a little bit, because I don't want to tell too much, because I want people to go and see your story, because it's really good.
Right.
So I definitely want them to see that. But let's talk about how you made those choices and then the choices to get out of it, because you talk a little bit about, you know, drugs, a little bit about alcoholism, and then being a womanizer. Let's talk a little bit about those steps so maybe we can save someone else to figure out their worth and change their direction.
Right. Well, you made a great point about, you know, the effects that it has on you, and you try to take your power back. That was the phrase that you used. Yeah, I tried to take my power back because the people who did like me, unfortunately, were people in the street. But they genuinely liked me. And when you gravitate, when you have people in your life that value you, no matter who they are, they could be a drug dealer. But if they show interest in you, and a lot of young girls, you know, I have daughters, and daughters that don't have fathers, a lot of times they gravitate to that boy who will compliment them. You know, even if he just wants one thing from them, they interpret that as love. So the streets loved me. The streets, you know, medicated me. They gave me the alcohol that I wanted. They gave me the weed that I wanted. But more than anything, they gave me camaraderie and a sense of family. And unfortunately,
right,
I got sucked into that. And, you know, I can't really blame them, kind of seduced by the streets. And that caused me to make, you know, decisions that caused me to get arrested, that caused me to have many setbacks, you know, in my own personal life. But, you know, if there's anybody listening, I think there's a value to having, we need more mentors right now. We need more, you know, not just black men, but we need more men to step up.
Absolutely.
And to turn around and lend a helping hand.
And I love that you said, I don't think we can tell by society today, we don't understand how important to me, I just don't think we do, it is for a man to be present in our children's lives, be it a young boy or a young girl. As you said, you know, being out in the streets and seeing girls that didn't have their father and what they were subject to. And the reason why I can speak that, because I had that, and I get that. I mean, you're searching for it, you're longing for it, because a woman's first love is her dad.
Yes.
If she doesn't have it, she has nothing to model by it, then she clings to the first man that shows her all this love and all this affection and you know, what that can lead to. But the one thing that I took from your story is, a lot of times as parents, and I'm one, you think you want your kids in this best school, right? You think you have them in the greatest school, and you take them out where they see none of their own people, and this is what happens. We're always thinking we're doing better. I think if we don't just start in our own community, uplifting our own community, and having more mentors, having more presence in our schools, we can change all of that. I'm loving your story. What do you think, what else we can do because of your experience in an all-white school?
I want to say something about the parents because, you know, I love what you said as a parent. We want to put our children in these perfect situations to give them the best foundation as possible. But I think that open communication with our kids is critical. I came from an era, you know, growing up, born in the 70s, raised in the 80s, where my parents didn't really talk to us. It was do as I say and not as I do. And I love my parents, and, you know, they did the best that they could.
Be seen and not heard, right?
but I think if they would have sat down and said, okay, be completely honest with me about what's going on at school and you will not get in trouble, then I would have told them, hey, every day is hell. Every day is torture. Every day I'm being called out my name. So I think we got to, number one, maintain open communication with our children and know that just because we put them in a private school where we're paying for their education, that doesn't mean that it's the best quality.
I love that. I'm serious, Timothy. I love that you're saying that because I do a different type of, my husband and I do a different type of raising with our kids because in our home, I do believe that they have the right to voice their opinion respectfully. I always tell my kids that you do it respectfully, because then you kill their negotiation skills and you won't never hear what's going on in school.
That's right.
Never hear it if you don't open up the door for them to talk. So it doesn't matter if they're in a, if you paid for a private school or if you're in a regular public school, you won't know what's going on with your kid if you don't let them speak and talk so that you can help them. Because unfortunately, you have a lot of predators that are teens and kids, and they get a kick out of doing, I'm just sorry, it's the truth. You know, people, they're just kids. Nah. Some kids, this is what they do.
Yeah.
And we got to be there to protect our babies. So what other advice could you give, you know, parents on just being more present when it comes to the schools? What can we do better?
Well, honestly, and I'm going to tell you what I did, not to toot my own horn, but I think that anytime you've been through something traumatic, it number one, it causes you to be more compassionate towards people who are going through the same thing. And then number two, you should do things differently. So I became the opposite. I became the parent that I needed when I was a child. And I think that we need to hold the schools accountable, meeting with the principal, meeting with the teachers. We have parents, and I have to give a bravo and kudos to a lot of the moms. I showed up at a lot of events, and it's just moms. I go to parent teacher conferences if, you know, if my wife is working, and it's just moms. I go on field trips. I volunteer to read to the class, and it's just moms. I think that, and I'm not bashing men. I love all my brothers. I think we got to do a better job of being vocal and being, you know, professional. We know how to come up to the school and handle a situation if we don't like it, and sometimes we act out, and that just reinforces the fact that we don't know how to act. But if we can just be professional and meet with the staff and the administration and the teachers and volunteer for events, just to be present. A lot of these white kids never really seen a black man, and they would just stare at me when I would be on the field trips, and we got to do better.
I believe it.
Yeah.
And I know you're telling the truth. My husband said he did this a thing with my kid called, I think it's Dad's Day. It's something at his school. And he's at the way the kid, and it's a lot of predominantly white school.
Mm-hmm.
And just I'm laughing at that because that's exactly what he said. My goodness, they were just staring like they've never seen a sighting of a black man and someone that can speak well, you know, that can have a vocabulary. And I go, yeah, we have to step up. We do need to. I love what you said. We have to be present. The schools are not going to do any more than what we show. I'm sorry, I believe that. So you have to show the schools. You have to make them accountable. You have to show your face. You have to let them know that you're there, and they will teach your child. But what I do see in the school system is if you don't show up, you're not the parent that sends the emails and are concerned about your kids, and they're not concerned either.
Well, you know what's funny, Hanif, is that the squeaky wheel gets the oil. So if Hanif is showing up, you know, multiple occasions and, you know, with the right presentation and she's meeting with the teachers, they're going to be less likely to verbally abuse your child, verbally, you know, be condescending or rude because why? I don't want your mama to come back up here. You know, so a lot of times just the fact that they know you're present, it restricts them from, you know, stepping out of bounds, so to speak, with your kids. And it's that kid that gets neglected that doesn't really have a support system that's going to be the
right
victim. And that's the truth.
And that's just the truth. Absolutely. And I love that you said that. And I am an advocate on parents. Please show up. Send emails. Yes, they're going to get tired of emails, but that's so what? You need to be really in there. And I don't care that your kid is in grade school, kindergarten, up to high school. I know right now the high school my kid is in, he just started. I know those teachers are like, oh, my God, this lady right here. But I don't play about mine, period. So he's going to get an education, and that's that.
Right.
And he's not going to be being bullied because I went through all that. And I love what you said is a key point. When you've went through it, when you know better, basically you do better. And it is our
duty
to do better and to come out in our communities and teach. Timothy, tell my audience, you know, how can they get to see this film? How can they get to know more about you and what you're doing, your social media handles and things of that nature?
Well, how they can see the film right now is I'm doing private screenings. The film is running the film festival circuit. It's been submitted to festivals internationally. So as those festivals accept the film and start to show it, which will more than likely be this summer because of the schedule that they're on, publicizing where those festivals will be so that people can come. Until I actually sell the film, which I would not mind doing with a Netflix or a Hulu or even getting the film on cable networks, but until that happens, then I'm having private screenings. We just had one in Los Angeles on Friday. We had over 800 people attend. Everyone enjoyed the film. We had celebrity guests. The film is inspirational. The way that people can see it now is let's book a private screening. So people can contact me. My number is 951-533-1694. I'm going city to city, and I'm, you know, helping with the marketing of the events, partnering with other people, whether that be your organization, your school, your church. Because of the fact that the film is inspirational, we can show the film in school, but we can also show it in your church. So if you are a part of an organization that would, you know, would like to empower their people, young people, millennials, anyone, then contact me and we can figure it out. We can make it happen. On Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, I'm the only Timothy Teach Jones. So there's a lot of Timothy Jones out there, but as soon as you type in Timothy Teach Jones, you'll see my profile come up, and that's the best way for me to keep in contact with you.
I love it. I'm going to say the number one more time for my audience that may have not heard. To reach Timothy, the phone number is 951. Is that correct, Timothy? 533-1694. I say for people that have nonprofits such as myself, we have got to show this film to the youth. It is so imperative because I don't care what city you're in, even if you think you're in a rich neighborhood or not, you never know what your child is going through.
Right.
Sometimes you just don't know. And this is a good way to break that barrier. I've seen the film. I love it. I think, wow, it's very powerful. And I'm happy that you decided to tell your truth and tell your story, Timothy. I really, I love that. And that you're out here doing it. And like you have daughters. I love that too. So you see it on a different
level. My daughters are 13, and the oldest will be 16 in a couple of weeks. And, you know, when I see teenage girls or teenagers in general, this is a pivotal period in their life. You know, this is going to their decisions now is going to make or break their future. And so that's why the film is that much more timely. It's not just about bullying. It's not just about overcoming racism. It's about becoming triumphant over any trouble, because there are people who grow up with one particular ethnicity and they don't deal with bullying, but they also don't know how to get out of poverty. They don't know how to escape the abuse or the molestation that they're dealing with. So this film is universal because it's about purpose, and everyone has a purpose, and everyone craves to know what their purpose is. That's what the film is entitled, Discovering Destiny, because we all have one.
That's so good. So good. Timothy, thank you so much. I hope to have you on again and hopefully interview you in person so we can actually get a visual. I really appreciate you coming on my show and sharing this wonderful journey that you were on. And I wish you nothing but continued success. And today I hope not only did we reach someone, but you reached that father or just that young man that can go out and mentor and save someone today. Thank you so much.
Yes, and thank you so much for having me. I appreciate that.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, everybody, we are going to get back into the show. I have my second guest, Shatan Anderson Joseph. She has an event going on today. And tomorrow called the Love Experience. Now, I want to know what that love experience means to her, and I'm sure you guys do too. So with no further ado, let's welcome Shatan. Hello, Shatan.
Good morning. How is everybody doing?
We are doing well. We're doing well. I'm so happy to have you today, and I cannot wait to talk about your event that's going on. Let's talk about it. Tell everybody what it is, what the Love Experience means. Let's get into it.
Well, the Love Experience, first of all, is an event that Insight Empowerment is putting on. I am the founder of Insight Empowerment Company, and our specialty is helping and aiding women, men, and children reaching their purpose. But the event this weekend is tonight, February 3rd, and tomorrow, February 4th, in Pasadena, California, where we will be just loving on ourselves. And it's apropos because February obviously is the love month. We usually are loving on our children, our spouses, significant others, showing love to parents. But this time is going to be a little bit more special because we are encouraging each woman in attendance to really just personally love on themselves, to reach inside of themselves, to touch themselves, to hug themselves, to tell yourself you love yourself. You know, we don't do enough of that, I have found. We love everyone else to death. We're, you know, affectionate towards everyone else. We're kind and generous to others, but we do not do this for our own personal reasons, you know. So that's what it's all about. It's getting in an environment, a networking environment that personally focuses on self.
Can they still get tickets to this wonderful event?
Are available via Brown Tickets, very limited. I believe the sales are going to close today at around 6 p.m. If you do not get your tickets via Brown Paper Tickets online and you do decide to come to the event, the tickets at that point will be $45 at the door. But rest assured, the $45 includes light refreshments on this evening. Tomorrow there will be a light breakfast and lunch, 5 seminar speakers, many facials. There's going to be Target massages available, many makeovers available, tons of vendors. It's just going to be amazing. So I don't know about you, honey, but $45, I spend that sometimes on Jeff going to buy makeup.
Right.
It's a really great investment in yourself, you know, just to network, just to get some, you know, some key ideas on how to love yourself more, how to love others, how to be receptive to love, because some of us push back love.
Absolutely.
Even though love is a very normal thing that we should all embrace, some people are really like, no, I don't want it. I don't need it. It hurts. So we're going to kind of dig into, you know, some of those things, personal things that, you know, people have experienced that feel, you know, a certain type of way. So it's going to be amazing.
I know it is. I know it is. And listen, everybody, I will be there. Please come out. I will be there tomorrow in the morning, and I cannot wait to see some of you there. You know, get your tickets, but if you don't get your tickets, you can buy them at the door, so that's a great thing, and I look forward to it. Shatan, tell everybody how they can reach you on social media.
You can reach me on Instagram at Insight Empowerment, Facebook at Insight Empowerment, or Shatan Anderson hyphen Joseph. And you can also reach me via my website, which is www.insight-empowerment.com.
All right, everybody. Well, you heard it here first. Yes, you did. So I look forward to seeing everybody there. Have a great, wonderful, prosperous Friday, everybody. Enjoy your weekend. Stay safe. If you're here in California, it's raining a little, but that's okay. Make sure that you stay warmed up. Yes, Lord, because sometimes this weather can change quickly. And with that being said, everybody, listen, be mindful of your thoughts, your words, and your actions, because you may be the only God someone sees today. God bless. Have a great one, everyone.